But he says, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Yes, the preordained program of God, that it must happen thus, as our notes say. And then there's the incident of the 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. There it is in Matthew 27, verses 9 and 10. Look at that, continuing that theme, Matthew 27, verses 9 and 10. Sorry we can't deal with this in detail, but here we go. Verse 7 of chapter 27, which reads, and they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore the field was called the field of blood to this day, that it was fulfilled that was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Another quotation, another event in the program of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew's saying, you see, here he is. This was done that it might be fulfilled. And these scriptures are coming to pass. They're being filled out to their completeness. And then finally, I can't turn to Zechariah. Incidentally, if you want the source of that quote, it is Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. That is point B. Zechariah 11, verses 12 and 13. Can't stop to solve the problem. It was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, yet we have a quotation from Zechariah. Haven't got time to deal with that. There is a simple solution. The next point is the Messiah crucified. So here in Matthew 27, in verses 33 to 37, we find once again this word, Matthew 27, verses 33-37. And when they had come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there. This was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. And just an apparent incidental thing. Just remove the clothing of the victim. Our Lord Jesus Christ wore a loincloth. And in Jewish and Semitic belief, just wearing a loincloth, or can I make it clear, just wearing underpants hung there would be considered hanging naked. And they took his clothes. And that little event was noted centuries before. And it is a fulfillment thereof. But notice the irony of it, or even the blasphemy of it. They divided my garments and cast lots. So here is this garment. I wonder why was it special? I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't go around with a halo shining as the medieval church paints him. Nor did the Lord Jesus Christ go around as we see here all dressed in white all the time like the priests. He was an ordinary looking man with ordinary clothing. How do we know that? Because Judas said to the arresting authorities and soldiers, whoever I go up to kiss, that's the man. You would not have been able to distinguish the Lord Jesus Christ from the other 12. The one that I go up and kiss, that is him. But I wonder if there was something different about those garments. But nevertheless, the soldiers said, oh, come on, let's play. Let's cast dice for this garment. the garment the blessed Saviour wore. And they divided the garments, they cut it up, and then threw the dice. And then it says they sat down and watched it all. Sat down and watched it all. See that phrase there? Sitting down. They kept watch over him there. Sitting down. I've called it the spectacle of the cross. The spectacle. Just sitting down. Of course, there was one person, at least one person, came to realize who the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was the centurion soldier in charge. The centurion. Who said, "This man is truly the Son of God." Isn't that wonderful? At the very scene of the cross, two people are converted. Who was the other person who was converted? The thief. So there was a lawbreaker on the cross, got saved. And there's a policeman, the law enforcer, the centurion, found the Lord Jesus. Isn't that lovely? At the very scene of the cross. Yes. But here's the spectacle of it all. They just sit there. You know, a lot of people are ghoulish. You know what ghoulish means? Even in our roads, you know. You see the traffic report, sometimes they say, "Oh, there's been an accident, so and so." And look at the traffic building up. Everyone's slowing down to have a look. Have a look at somebody else's misfortune. Of course, in the Roman times, that was their entertainment in the amphitheatres. And Christians were the victims. They were slaughtered for their entertainment, the Roman entertainment. And so we have the symbol that we have on our computer screens. Like this or don't like it. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Will we kill this person or won't we? That's the Romans. Public executions were entertainment. They just sat there, the spectacle of the cross. And they gambled my clothes. Just the prophecy that came through. Finally, the Messiah coming the second time, coming in power and glory. And here now we will confront some of the prophecies in closing, that the prophecies that the Messiah himself prophesied, and they are temple prophecies. Temple prophecies. The first one that we have here is the desolate house prophecy in Matthew 23. This is important, and now we are not going to turn to a phrase, "This was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet," but we will quote a supporting reference from the Old Testament about what's going on in the life of the Lord Jesus and his dealing with the children of Israel. Matthew chapter 23 verse 37. This one we've quoted quite a bit. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often do I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the disciples, when they heard that, I'm reading between the lines here. When the disciples heard that, they said, "What on earth is he saying? Your house, your temple, will be left unto you desolate." In other places, they said, "This building has taken 40 years to build. And after the time of Jesus, it went on building for another 6 years. And so the disciples said, "We better take Jesus down to this temple and let him have a good..." I tell you what, in the days of Herod, this is absolutely beautiful. This was white marble, and it glistened in the sun. And now, and what we present here is only second best. Then Jesus went out, verse 1:24, then Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And the disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus has just said, he hasn't said an encouraging word here. He said, your house is absolutely going to be destroyed and desolate. Because I came to you and you rejected me. Now I'm going to reject you and I'm going to destroy this temple. And Jesus said, do you not see all of these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.